Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to the second chapter of Acts. And if you've been with us the last two or three weeks, you know we've been talking about the birth of the New Testament church. And it was birthed on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. And God wants you to have your Pentecost. God wants you to be involved and active in the kingdom of God, in a church. And I would just encourage each and every one of you, if you are not involved in a church, if you don't have regular church attendance, I would just encourage you to do that today, to be a part of a regular church and be a part of the body of Christ. And it's great to listen to the radio, and I praise God for radio ministry. I praise God for TV ministry and for internet ministry. But I know God wants you to take all that in addition. He wants you to be in a body of Christ, in a body of believers. And if you would make an attempt to find a good church and a Bible-believing church, a church that prays for each other, a church that encourages one another and lifts each other up, I know you will be blessed. You'll form relationships in that church that will last you for a lifetime. You'll form relationships that will strengthen your walk and strengthen your walk with the Lord and strengthen your kingdom personal walk, as well as the corporate body is strengthened when we make relationships and bonds with each other to encourage each other. So I would just encourage you to do that today as you think about your walk with the Lord. Well, turn in your Bible to the second chapter of Acts, and we're going to start in verse 41. And Peter had just preached this magnificent sermon, the first sermon in the New Testament church. He had just preached this magnificent sermon right after the Holy Spirit was poured out on all these people there in Jerusalem. And it says in Acts 2, verse 41, that those who gladly received Peter's word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and that is to them, to the disciples and the apostles. So after they gladly received the word, and I pray, brethren, that you are gladly receiving the word today, after they gladly received the word, then they were immediately baptized, and I encourage you to do that. If you have not been immersion baptized, I encourage you to do that, to identify yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you are buried with him and that you are raised up to walk with him in newness of life. And if you have not been immersion baptized, I encourage you to do that. Baptism isn't what saves you. What saves you is your faith in Jesus Christ. But he asks us to be baptized as an act of obedience and an identification with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then it goes on in verse 42 to describe the what I call the four hallmarks of the New Testament church. And it says in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And so I consider those to be the four hallmarks of the New Testament church. And these hallmarks should be found in any church. If you don't have these hallmarks evidence in your church, you may consider praying about, maybe God wants to direct you to a new church, because these four hallmarks should be in evidence and be in existence and be regularly practiced in each and every New Testament church. That is God's will. God is the one who instituted the New Testament church. God is the one who poured out the Holy Spirit and poured out the gifts of the Holy Spirit on the disciples and on the apostles. And so if the church does not look like the church that he designed, and if the church does not look like the church that he instituted, then it could very easily be an apostate church and one that you don't want to be a part of. Well, so the four hallmarks, we're going to take a closer look at those and see how they measure up with the church that you go to, or see how they measure up with your own idea of what you believe should be a good New Testament church. Well, the first hallmark is the apostles' doctrine, that is teaching. If you'll notice in Ephesians 4, verses 8 to 11, the teacher and the pastor are part of the fivefold ministry, and so it is very important, it is critical that you receive sound doctrine, that you receive good teaching, and it is very important that the teaching comes straight from the Word of God and that it speak the truth of God's Word. And so teaching is profitable to us, and teaching is God's desire. It is His way for us, for the body of Christ. It is His way for us to receive the truth of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And that word reproof means for rebuking or a strong correction. Verse 17 in 1 Timothy 3, "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so it is vitally important that we receive good teaching. It is vitally important that we study God's Word on our own, that we spend time in God's Word so we start to receive the wisdom and the understanding that God desires for us. And you can only have that understanding by spending time in His Word, by spending time in prayer. And when you start to spend time with the Lord, He gives you an understanding. He takes the veil off of your eyes, and He starts to give you an understanding of His Word, so that when people teach and when people tell you about God's Word, you can tell whether they're giving you the truth or whether they're speaking lies or whether they're speaking apostate doctrine. And so good, sound teaching is extremely important, and it is what grounds the body of Christ in good, sound doctrine. Well, Paul goes on to tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, Timothy, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Well, we see that happening in the church in America today. We see a lot of fables. We see a lot of apostate doctrine. We see a lot of things being preached and taught from the pulpit by men of God who should know better and by women of God who should know better. God would never condone, or He would not want to have us to teach, and He would not have us to want to believe. And yet people are seeking out those teachers. It doesn't take God by surprise. None of this has. He knew there was a time coming when people would seek out these teachers because their ears were itching to hear lies, and their ears were itching to hear things that were not the truth. And so that is the type of churches they seek out. That is the type of churches that they like to look for when they go into a city, because they want to live a life that does not hold them accountable. They want to believe that there is no such thing as sin. There is no eternal hell. There is no consequence for their sin. And so they want to continue to live in the lifestyle that they have adopted, and they want somebody to tell them that that's okay. They want somebody to tell them that what they're doing is not a sin. And so they seek out the churches, they seek out the teachers that give them the apostate doctrine that their itching ears want to hear. Well, the second thing that the hallmark of the New Testament church shows us was that people desired to be in the fellowship of that New Testament church. The fellowship is so important. That's why I encourage you to be a part of a Bible-believing church. If you're not part of one now, I encourage you to seek out, to look for a good Bible-believing church and get involved in the activities there, get involved in the outreaches, the ministries of that church. Lay aside your pride. If you've not been in a church for many years, just lay aside your pride and go down there and walk into that church and say, "I'm here to join the fellowship. I'm here to be a part of this body of Christ." And I believe, brother and sister, you will be glad that you do that. You will be glad that you take that step, and you will have people to come around you to encourage you and to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. Hebrews 10:24, the writer of Hebrews tells us, "And let us consider or encourage one another in order to stimulate or stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And so the day approaching Paul was talking about is the end day, that time when everything comes to a head and the culmination of all things, as Jesus comes back to gather up the church, and the tribulation and the millennial reign, all those things are coming, and they are closer now today than they have ever been in the history of the church. And so Paul is exhorting us to get in the body and to encourage and to stimulate each other to love each other, not just each other in the church, but love each other all throughout our walk on this earth, to love people who are outside the church, to love people who are trapped in sin and in bondage. And Paul is just encouraging and exhorting those in Hebrews. He's saying, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another or encourage one another, and so much more so as you see the day approaching, or as you see the end day approaching. Beloved, what's coming to America, what's coming to your town and to your city, what is coming is going to stress and test even the greatest of us. It's going to test and stress even the strongest of the believers in the body of Christ. And if you're out there by yourself, the devil is going to discourage you. He is going to depress you. He is going to make you believe that you can't make it. He is going to try every way that he can to try to destroy you. And if you're out there trying to hang on by yourself, if you're out there and you're suffering from depression, or you are under the weather, you might say, if you are suffering from sickness or despair or discouragement, the devil has you in a place where he wants you. He wants to steal and kill and destroy from you. But when you are in the body of Christ, when you are part of a body of believers, when you get down, when you get discouraged, when you're in despair, when you're sick, people can come alongside you and strengthen you and encourage you and exhort you and give you that necessary encouragement that you need to make it through the mountains that are in your life, to make it through those times in your life when you don't think you can make it. And God, it is his will that we be in that body of Christ, that we do not forsake the assembling of the saints, and so much more so as the end day draws near. Well, the third hallmark I want to talk about in the New Testament church is the breaking of bread. That was a common occurrence that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me whenever you gather. Do this in remembrance of me. And it is his will that we have communion, that we partake on a regular basis of the breaking of bread to commemorate Jesus Christ, to remember him. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17, Paul tells the Corinthians, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we," verse 17, "though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And so Paul says, when you gather together and when you think about the body of Christ, which all believers come together to formulate the body of Christ or to become the active body of Christ, it is important that we remember the reason that we are together. It is important that we remember who we are in Christ Jesus and remember him and remember that he went to the cross, that he died for your sins, that he died for my sins, that he shed his precious blood, that through his blood we could have redemption, that through his blood we can have eternal life. Through faith in him we can come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and live for all eternity. And so as we come together and we seek the Lord Jesus, as we seek his presence and seek his face, and as we come together to encourage and stimulate one another, it is important that we remember the reason we come together and who we are, and it is because of Christ Jesus and what he did for us, and to remember the suffering and to remember the death that he died for us. And so we drink of the cup of his shed blood, and we eat of the bread of his broken body, and it allows us to remember him as our Savior who went to the cross for us, and our risen Savior who rose from the dead after being in a tomb for 3 days. He rose from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God, and we will be there with him ourselves in our resurrection body someday, and sitting at the right hand of God. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And Paul goes on to say in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many also sleep." So Paul says that we are to examine ourselves, and we are to partake, and as we partake, then we do so in a worthy manner, and we judge ourselves rightly, and we judge ourselves correctly when we examine ourselves through the lens of the gospel and through the lens of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the fourth way that the New Testament church gathered together and practiced those things which were of a blessing to them was in the prayers of the saints. And in James 5:13 it says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses," verse 16, "to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Well, beloved, God calls us together to pray. He calls us together to pray in twos and threes and fives and tens and thousands. And the prayers of a righteous man, a single man, availeth much. And so you can imagine how the prayers of many, how the prayers of thousands together, gathered together, going up into the throne room of God, how the prayers of many can change and affect the destiny of a city, of a nation, of a world. Can you just imagine this world without the prayers of the saints of Jesus Christ? Can you just imagine this world if there were no churches, if there were no body of Christ, if there were no people gathered together to pray and to ask the Lord for their blessings and to ask the Lord to bind the works of the devil and all of the things that people ask for and pray for and intercede for? Can you just imagine this world if none of that was happening? Well, I, for one, can't imagine it. I know it seems like this world is pretty grim and there's lots of darkness out there. There's lots of death and destruction, and Islam is on the rise, and the moral decadence and slide that you see happening here in America is certainly front and center on everybody's mind. But even so, without the prayers of the brethren, without the prayers of the body of Christ, I can't imagine what this earth would look like. I can't imagine what life in America would look like. And so God calls us together to pray. He calls you to go into your secret place, into your closet, into your prayer closet, and pray to him. And it says he will reward you in secret. But he also says that where two or three of you are gathered, ask anything you want, and the Holy Spirit will be there with you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be granted. And that is assuming, of course, that it is of the kingdom, that it is of God's desire, that you're not just asking for selfish purposes and selfish plans, but you're asking for the things of the kingdom. And as you pray with others, as you gather with others to pray, and just as in the New Testament church, they gathered with each other to pray and to ask the Lord to pour out the Holy Spirit on their neighbors, on their friends, on those who had not received it. You can ask the Lord for whatever you wish, and it shall be granted to you. If it is of the kingdom will, if it is of the Lord's will, He will grant it unto you. And we know that the prayers for your family, He's 100% for your family. He wants to bless your family. And we know that He wants to bless your life. He wants you to prosper in health and prosper your soul. And He wants to prosper your pocketbook so you can get money to the kingdom and support kingdom ventures. And all of these things God will grant to you. And it is His desire to bless you and to strengthen you and to lift you up as the end day draws near. Well, beloved, it's great to read about the New Testament church, but it's even greater to be a part of a New Testament church here on this earth right now. And wherever you're at listening to this message today, I pray that you're part of a New Testament body of believers, that you are sold out for the Lord, that you're ready to do work for the kingdom, that you're equipped in every good way to get out there and do work for the kingdom, to move the kingdom of God forward. I pray that that is you today, and if it's not, I pray that you make corrections in your life, that you get involved in a body, that you get equipped, that you get ready, and you get strengthened in your walk, and you get ready to believe that God is going to do something great and mighty through your life and through the body of believers that you're connected to. I ask you to email me, pureprayer@hotmail.com. If you make any kind of a decision to accept Jesus or rededicate your life, or maybe you just need direction on how you need to get involved in the body of Christ, email me if you have any questions, and I'll be more than happy to correspond with you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.